Welcome to another edition of Nerdificent. I am one half of your host, Danny Fernandez, and sitting across from me, as always,
is Iffy Wadiway. How's everybody doing? How's everyone feeling? I hope everyone is feeling great.
I feel good, Iffy, if that was specifically to me.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling all right, you know. Had my brother's bachelor party this past.
Yeah, can you talk about that at all?
I mean, up until a point.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. We went to a brewery. That was great. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a good time. Got to taste some different flavored beers. Coachella Valley Brewing Company. Really, they took good care of us. They, you know, when I was getting ready to pay, I was going to go to pay for my brother, who is the bachelor, and he was like, oh, we already took care of the bachelor. And that was real sweet of them. Aww. So I want to shout them out. Go down there. Delicious brew. I'm a big sweet brew. They had brewery tours at like 6, and we ended up, the Lyft driver was wild, out of this world, and ended up getting us there 6:15. And I was like, I don't know if we can still squeeze one in. They're like, yeah, no problem. And they took us, and we were like, it was so funny. So full disclosure, like me and my brother, like I said, I'm from Compton. These are all our friends, mostly from Compton. Rudy, who's our cousin, also from Compton. And so like when I was like, yeah, we're going to go to this brewery, and they all looked at me and said, so we're just going to drink beers? And I was like, well, there's more. They like taste good. They're like craft beers. And I'm like, all right. And I could tell No one was really really on the train. And then like everyone got their first round and like tasted
then
it
they were
and
were in.
On. And then when we went on the tour, everyone was locked in. And then by then we were getting a little toasty, so we were super in.
I this weekend went to WonderCon, and I don't know if you saw my pictures, but it was also wild. Yeah. People were getting wild. Did you see my Chippendales? Mm-hmm. It was Chippendale, the Rescue Rangers, dressed up like Chippendales, the strippers.
Yeah.
They were in like G-strings. They had little dollar bills. They even had a radio that they took with them, and it would like blast music that they would dance to.
Oh, that's great.
And Ben Simon, my friend, who's also on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, he pointed out, and he was like, oh, that's the radio from A Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah.
So did the full callback. And not only did I stop them, but later when I was on a panel, they were sitting in the audience of my panel.
And they're like, hey, mm-hmm. we like that interaction we had earlier. We're going to come support
you. I made
you.
Them get up and show themselves.
Show yourself.
Show what the work that you've done. Yeah, it was a spicy con. There were a lot of spiciness. Somebody else was there that had the panel right before mine, and it is our lovely guest today. She's a tech and gaming host, Trisha Hirschberger.
Woo! Hi, guys. Hey. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you were literally coming off your panel as I was going onto the stage.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What panel was that?
I'm trying to think which one was right before yours. I believe it was the Building a Geek Brand mm-hmm. panel. So just kind of, you know, telling people how you can turn your passion into your living and giving advice to people who are maybe still in the startup phase.
Yeah.
So a lot of Q&A in that panel to help everybody tackle their individual challenges. But it was really fun.
Yeah, I think the panel that I had, weirdly, right after yours was my LGBT and minority host, How to Break Through. So kind of the
yes.
same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah. Lots of info nuggets getting dropped, huh?
How to do what we do.
But you're right. WonderCon was totally wild. I saw some out-of-this-world cosplays.
Ooh.
I also saw the Chippendale, dancing Chippendale.
Love it.
Which was hilarious. But yeah, some really, really fun crossover stuff. I met a guy, Latino_Joker, on Instagram, who did the best Joker makeup I think I may have ever seen in a cosplay. He was amazing. And I saw a Janine with the Ghostbusters, but like a Janine all packed out and ready to go fight some ghosts, which as a kid that watched the 80s cartoon all the time and the 90s cartoon, that was a big deal for me to see Janine. So I got my picture with Janine.
Oh, nice.
Some guy committed as Lego Batman, and he was like 3 times my size. Like he was actually in this boxy as a Lego Batman. And I'm like, how is he walking? The commitment. I posted on like my Insta stories.
Yeah, one Comic-Con I dressed up, my buddy had a webcomic called Glamrock Gorilla. And I just so happened to have a gorilla outfit. And he had this leather jacket made that was what the gorilla wore in the webcomic. So I walked around in a gorilla costume wearing a leather jacket on top of the gorilla costume. And it was hot. It was not fun. So that's why whenever I see these like full suit cosplays, I'm like, I respect you because I've been there and it's hot.
What a good friend.
Yeah, you know, I like to support people. It's not a new thing. I've always supported the homies' brands.
That is also why when you see some of us that are in not very much clothing, that is why, because Comic-Con is in July in the summer, and it's hot as hell out in San Diego. So we all know what happened, Iffy, when I broke my, I was wearing a one piece to right before my Nerdist panel. I was at Skybound doing a panel, and I went to the bathroom with Erica Ishii, who's one of our friends, and my zipper broke.
Oh, no.
Like, just completely. So it was, like, down to my navel was just everything was out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Iffy said, no, just rock it. It's a look. And I'm like, yeah. No, if I, like, turn to the side. You know what I mean? I was like, if I turn to a side, I'm going to be in trouble. Look at some people on the stream, because not only was Nerdist, we did a live show, but there was also a stream too of our live show. And so I was like, some people, look, I don't care if you see, you know, boobs. Am I allowed to say that on here? I don't care if you see a boob. But I think some people on the stream might care. Some people on the stream might not care, but then some people will care. Anyways.
Yeah, there's those cosplay repair carts that run around cons now. By the way, should you have that happen at a future con, there are cosplay repair people that are actually, a lot of times, they're crafters and costumers themselves that instead of cosplaying at the con, want to just, like, do a good deed and run around and will fix your cosplays for free.
Oh, my gosh. I would have paid them. Nobody had safety pins. Nobody had tape. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of boobs, today we're here to talk about Game of Thrones from the books
boobies
all the way
and dragons.
To the TV series. I mean, I feel like that's kind of like the same way kind of you get the, you know, nerd world intersecting with the mainstream. I feel like Game of Thrones was like one of the more recent nerd properties that got like the mainstream interested. And I think, you know, being as like R-rated as it is what got people going, because they're like, yeah, this isn't like Harry Potter, man. There's like boobs in there.
Well, let me just tell you, there's tons of boobs in the books too.
Okay.
And the books were around way before the show.
Oh, yeah.
And they were not mainstream. Like, if you were like, oh man, I want to share this very large book with you by a man named George R.R. Martin, people were like, get out of here with that stuff. But now that it's a TV show and it's on HBO, everybody's loving it.
Trisha, I grew up with boobs in anime and hentai, so I hear you.
Get it.
Before it was big.
But, you know, also what's crazy about it is if you were like, if you did reel someone in and they're like, yeah, okay, I'm in. And when can I expect the next book? And you have to be like, I don't know.
Maybe in a decade. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. The space between these books make me glad that I got into it when I did, because I would have lost my mind, because I was on the internet very early. So I would have been banned from the internet way quicker, because I would have been yelling at George R. R. Martin, when's the next book coming out?
Dude, so many people do that. He's like so over it.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen his interviews where like people are like, what do you say to the people that think due to your health you're not going to make it to finish the next book, and he just flips off the camera? He's like so over it.
Also, that's a gross question to ask somebody. So, you might die before this comes out. How do you feel about that?
Under normal circumstances, I think it would be a gross character, but this man has waited 10 to 15 years between books.
Yep.
And if you're in, and how many books are in the series right now? Like, I think 5 or 6. So you're 6 books in, you're like, I might not see how this concludes.
I think we've gotten excerpts from the 6.
Oh, really?
Listen, Brad Bird took 14 years before Incredibles 2 came out.
That's also true. There are people who, I mean, let's not even get started on Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, there are people who did not live to see
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Ooh. It's been like hit or miss, but
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous game. There are plot holes everywhere. It's the most convoluted narrative that ever exists. But let me just tell you, when the teacups come out from the ground and start slaughtering people, it is awesome.
I guess we should have mentioned that this is a spoiler. This is going to be spoiler heavy for Game of Thrones. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of hard to tackle the series as we go into season by season without spoiling something. So if that does bother you and you're planning to, I don't know, catch it and binge it before it comes out this weekend, you might want to take a not a nightcap. You might want a nightcap and also rain check. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. So just before we go into the meat of the books, just so people are just really understanding what I'm talking about, Game of Thrones was published in 1996.
Ooh.
The sequel, A Clash of Kings, in 1998. Not bad, right? Storm of Swords in the year 2000. All right, not bad. And then in November 2005, A Feast for Crows, the fourth novel, comes out. And you're like, all right, that's a bit longer. And then the fifth book, A Dance with Dragons, is published in 2011, 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we last left off. And it is now...
We've been getting teased with excerpts, though.
Yeah, excerpts.
Then.
And it is 2019. Mm. So we went from 2 years to 5 years to 6 years to now we are 8 years and counting.
To be fair, the man executive produces lots of different titles and stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
His career has blossomed.
Also, yeah, because he's definitely made that shift into TV, which, you know, based on what I hear... writing money is versus TV money, I can see why he's like, oh, this is going wait while I make this money.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually is EPing a Nigerian offer, Neka
yes.
Okafor, who I knew about before, you know, the brothers came on to talk about it. And I was very interesting. So it was a very small world moment when they were like, oh, she's our mentor. So nice little callback. Let's jump in to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so Trisha, so you read the books. When did you first get your hands on them? Like, how old were you and what was...
Let's see.
Was it when they came out or was it years after?
I was in my late teens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was in my late teens. So it would have been probably after the first three were already out. And that's when I got the first one, and I actually picked it up and put it back down three times before I finished it.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because off air you were mentioning that you read a lot of fantasy novels. I'm more of a sci-fi guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you were saying how it was a hard read and how, like with me, there was no frame of reference. I think Game of Thrones was my first fantasy since I was very little. I was like way too young. I think I was in third or fourth grade, maybe seventh, when I first tried to pick up The Hobbit, and it just wasn't popping off the page how I wanted
to. Yeah, so
good. Not to 7-year-old Iffy, but this was a 7-year-old Iffy who already found anime. So I was like, this needs to go, which is, you know, also ironic since I watched DBZ, which takes a moment to get to the action. But with me, I was like, no, I wanted the goblin stabbing something page 3. But what were the types of fantasy novels you were reading before you decided to pick up Game of Thrones?
Well, The Hobbit, mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings, a lot of the books in the Tolkienverse, the Dragonlance novels back in the day. So that's the kind of stuff I was into. So I was into kind of high fantasy. Like, I like my magic. I like my dragons. And the first Game of Thrones book doesn't have a lot of that.
Yeah.
The first book is a lot of politics.
Yeah, it was
the series, I feel like, does a lot better than the book does. So you're going through the book and, you know, there are parts that are incredibly slow and drawn out. And a lot of, in most fantasy novels, a lot of the characters either have multiple names or have names that sound very similar. So you're constantly flipping to the back of the book to remember who's who without having the benefit that we now have of the show where we can visualize a character to put with a name. So I found the first book to be a very hard read until I got to the end, which, again, we're spoiler alerting this.
Yeah.
If you've watched seasons 1-7, come on with us for this ride. Till the end of the first book, which ends much like the end of the first season,
yep.
with Daenerys giving birth to the three dragons. So at that point, I was like, oh, where's the next book? I'm so in.
Yeah,
but up until then, I was like, this is politics.
Yeah, that's really what it was. And to me, as a sci-fi guy, that I was into that because sci-fi is a lot of like hyper politics and you know, space, you know, like very bureaucratic in their like space wars and exchanges of power. So I was like locked in, and that I had this, and funny enough, even with all that, I still had that same moment where I was like, oh, dragons are real. because like throughout the first book, it's almost like it's fable, those times are past, there are
right.
no, and so you're like, I was like, okay, so this is gonna be a fantasy that doesn't do much fantasy. And then they're like, nope, psych, that's the wrong number.
And actually, I take that back, the very beginning snippet in the beginning of the book, there's magic in fantasy, and then you forget about it for the whole rest of the book. But the first season does that exact same thing, where we get that scene with the White Walkers in the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And then it skips all the way, or well, I shouldn't say it skips, but then politics, 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 all the way to the magic at the end of the first season. But I think, Ify, going back to what you were saying about having that more mass appeal, I think the fact that it is so grounded in kind of reality and the politics of it all is what brings in your mainstream viewing public. Oh, yeah. Because I think if they saw magic and dragons and all that right from the beginning, they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Whereas now they're already invested in the reality of that world, so they're more apt to believe, oh, crap, there's dragons, you know?
That's a good point, because there are, like, I have talked to friends who are trying to get their friends into the show now, and it's kind of being that same argument where it's like, oh, you mean the dragon show? And it's like, to call it the dragon show when we have waited and worked so hard to get to the dragons
is
a disservice.
That is true. Well, and you know, right before, so if we're talking about the show, right before Game of Thrones, that slot was True Blood. And I grew up, like, I was watching True Blood. Same thing. Yeah, vampires, a lot of sex.
Yes, like, girl.
That's how they got people in.
Hello,
I mean,
Bill.
Wow. Wow. First episode. Wow.
It's and this is how much of a hyper nerd I was. It's like, oh, you get to see Rogue's boobs. Oh, no.
But I mean, but I agree, because so I remember, like, everyone in my family watched it. I remember, like, I would go over and, like, watch it with my cousin and her husband, and it was, like, so, I don't know, so raunchy, but, like, they weren't into sci-fi fantasy and that type of stuff, like, that type of lore. And I think because they kind of made it, like, oh, no, it's kind of like a soap opera slash drama slash just Skinamax, essentially, is what helps get it in.
And True Blood actually calmed down a bit after that first season. That first season was pretty hard.
But it got hella magical.
But I mean, the sex calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, the sex came down, and then it was like fairies and all the, you know,
have
all
you
these
read
other
any
things.
Of the Sookie Stackhouse books?
No,
so
very similar to Game of Thrones. The books are like, you know, they're very, lots of sex scenes, very into it. Like, it wasn't quite Shades of 50 Shades.
Yeah, there's Shades of 50 Shades.
It wasn't quite there, but it definitely was like a... the book club was like, ooh, we're going to read about this type of stuff. And I only knew about it because funny enough, True Blood was deep into my headspace because the person I was dating at the time was a big fan of the Sookie Stackhouse books, big fan. And, you know, she was from Utah. So, you know, that was real spicy out there. They're like, hold up, hold up. We getting a little taste there. So, yeah, that's and I think, yeah, the same thing where you just ground it in enough reality and kind of almost in the same way the MCU kind of pulls in regular people, where you just kind of find that other genre. So there is this, at its core, if you eject all of the magic, Game of Thrones is a show about politics. And I think True Blood was about kind of like a soap opera. Mm-hmm. That, but like that, I hate using the term, because we kind of, I want to say like high soap opera, because there are like soap opera-esque shows that seem more mainstream than actual soap operas. But I think it's, you just call it soap opera because, you know, the new thing that I was saying, like with movies like Hereditary and Us, should there be a term called elevated horror? And I was like, no, it's horror. It's the same horror. Just because you feel smarter doesn't mean you have to try and alienate people when you like it. So that's why I was against calling it like high soap opera. But like, yeah. It's soap opera.
Yeah, but you're right, Danny. That show ended, and it left the people that watched True Blood with
the
like,
horny
what am I going to do on Sunday nights? I was one of those people. I mean, I watched True Blood to the end, even though I was like, this show is not good anymore, and I don't care. I'm still watching it. Then what am I going to do with my Sunday nights? Boom, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
So before we hop into season two in the second book, we are going to take a quick break. And we're back. I forgot to tell you that. Okay, so I had never seen Game of Thrones, but at least for the first couple of seasons. But it was so prevalent online that I did a movie fights about it at Screen Junkies. Oh. And I won my round against people that actually watched it. But that's just because it's such in the zeitgeist, right? I knew all the memes. I knew all the characters people made fun of. I knew the stuff that had happened. Like, that's just because I live online. So that isn't that funny? Like,
good
I
for
just,
you.
Yeah. Also, I don't think that they knew that. I picked Arya. Like, I think you had to pick, like, the strongest character and I picked, or, like, the best. You had to argue and I picked her. And it was just also because I knew so much about it just from being on Twitter constantly.
Yeah, and I mean, the characters that are the strongest in this series change from book to book and season to season, which is, I think, what makes it such an interesting series. And Danny, you were mentioning before we started recording that you felt like there was a lot of stuff going on with the male-female dynamic in the series that you weren't so thrilled with. And that starts to shift. And I mean, where we are now, it's there are definitely, I would argue, more prominent women that are main players than men. But yeah, I mean, it's got some really strong female characters, Arya being one of them. But depending which season, like a lot of people thought Sansa was a big pushover for a long time.
Sansa was now so frustrating. But that's kind of
like
the...
she was written better in the books, to be honest.
Oh yeah, like because I only saw bits and pieces of Sansa because, full disclosure, I've read the books, but I only watched my episode of Game of Thrones episode, which was the one where she, where Arya, well, we're going to jump ahead, but just so Trish knows what, where Arya meets the dude who's teaching her of the million faces.
Jaqen H'Kar.
Yeah. And she like, she dips, she's like, this. Oh no, that's my first curse drop on the second one. I'm usually the clean one in Danny's.
It's hard to talk about Game of Thrones without having a curse drop.
Also, like, I just came from streaming, so, you know, I get real loose with the lips. But yeah, it basically, like, it is cool seeing, because the more I think about it, I feel like Arya is supposed to be the viewer, because it's that kind of that dated, like, not dated, but definitely like the fantasy reader's mindset of like, I gotta kill this person and this person and this person. And they constantly show us how she just doesn't have the power to do that yet.
Ooh, boy, then, you gotta watch that show.
But I know she slowly starts to get it. And there's something about that vengeance in a world that's just been so cruel to these people.
I mean, there are people who would argue that right now Arya is a psychopath.
Real
homicidal maniac, like, has lost it, is so off the deep end, because now she most definitely does have the power to do it.
Yeah,
maybe even more so than anyone else in this series. So Arya is terrifying now moving into season 8. But
I think at this point it's safe to say this is going to give you all the information you need to walk into the next season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so that's what I tried to, like, bullet point the main things in each season that you would need to know if you were just like, okay, I don't have time to rewatch them all, but I want a little refresher.
Yeah, let's talk about season 2 then.
Okay, well, for season 1, the other big thing that we didn't talk about yet is Ned Stark's execution.
Smoked.
Oh, of course.
Which is crazy. You've seen the memes.
Hey, you've seen the memes.
You know Ned's dead.
It's really just the show setting up that expectation of like, oh no, you being goody two-shoes is not going to work in this world.
Well, and you think he's the star of the show because he's the name talent and he's the good guy, and you think, oh man, good guys always win. End of season 1. So that and Daenerys giving birth to the dragons, I feel like, are the big refreshers for season 1. And then season 2, we have, I think, the biggest moments are the shadow baby murder of Renly, that was thanks to Melisandre. And the Battle of Blackwater Bay, which was this amazing naval battle involving wildfire, which is this green flame. Yep. Very, very cool. And Theon Greyjoy, who we had previously seen as a ward of the North, fast forward through some time, took over Winterfell and pretends to murder Bran and Rickon, which makes the North hate him. And those are the biggest things from season 2.
Yeah,
I would say.
And you know, just to focus in on certain aspects, Melisandre was really cool in her introduction, at least in the books for me, because, like you said, book 1, they kind of like very like very slowly trickled in magic. And then we have Magic Woman, who is now like straight up, yeah, gives birth to the Shadow Baby and Renly, the Rainbow King. He was the one with the rainbow, like he had the rainbow action.
No, his boyfriend was the Knight of Flowers.
Yes, that's who I'm thinking of.
So, but Renly and Sir Loras are whoop whoop.
Yeah, and she straight nasty smoked him by bringing this Shadow Baby that came out and did it. And that was what was crazy, because up until that point, you hear them talk about her doing magic, but you don't see it. Like you're only kind of like getting hearsay, and one person doesn't believe it's real. It's the what's his face? Well, the one who's like, who's so not
the
on her
Onion
side.
Knight.
Yeah.
Yes, Sir Davos.
Yeah, just not all about. And then she does magic, and you're like, oh, this is real. We're in magic time now.
Well, they talk about priests of the Lord of Light, her god, using wildfire to make swords appear like they're on fire. So all of this could be explained within the world without magic, until she straight up gives birth to a shadow demon that murders Renly.
Yeah.
So then we're like, okay, so either her god is the real god or one of the real gods, or she definitely has some kind of power or something, which, I mean, even in the series now, remains to be seen how much power she actually holds, because she's actually, you know, fast forward a couple seasons, made some mistakes along the way. But yeah, that was a super, super cool moment.
And in this book, do we not also introduce the Iron Isles as well?
I don't remember if that happens in the book or not. Season one and book one are a pretty close parallel.
Yeah.
Starting in season two, they start to veer off. And by the as the books go and the seasons go, the show and the books get further and further apart, and the timelines get really mixed up.
Because in the books, right around when the Bran Rickon stuff is going down, it keeps cutting to these Iron Isles. And I remember being annoyed where it's like, I don't care about these new dudes.
Like, but like, that happened. I feel like that happens so much as you get further in the books, that which book, I forget if it's book three or book four. I think it's book four. You're like, I don't even care about any of these people that I'm reading about. Where are the people I care about? Like Tyrion disappears for a whole book, and you just don't know. But the book did that really well, where it would be left ambiguous if someone was murdered or not, and then you wouldn't hear from them for a book. So you'd be like, all right, well, I guess they're dead. And then when they'd show up later, you'd be like, oh, snap, they were alive the whole time. But the show, I guess, couldn't really do that for actor contract reasons. Like, they weren't going to leave out a favorite character for a whole season. You're not going to leave out Peter Dinklage for a whole season.
Oh, no.
So with, because I didn't read the books, so how do fans of the books, how have they handled it over time with it changing? I mean, have they pretty much, I mean, the show is so well renowned. It's like, so are they okay with it?
I haven't met any salty book people.
Okay.
I think most people respect that they're two different things.
Well, they're also kind of very different in the sense that, like, in the book, every chapter is through the perspective of a person. And I feel like that, I'm not tripping, right?
No, that's correct.
Yeah, every chapters are through someone's perspective. So I think when you lift that, you already know, like, okay, this is going to be different, because
it has to be, because in the book you're getting characters' inner monologues that you're not going to get without creating some kind of dialogue in the show, or is someone whose chapter it is, they'll get a raven from somewhere else that something just happened. And in the series, we actually see that. So I think that there's a lot of things that the series does really well that the books maybe don't do as well, and vice versa. So I would argue there's a reason to both read the books and watch the show. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, once the show's over, why would you go back and read the books? But I think that they're different enough you totally could.
I don't know how y'all feel about that, but I loved reading. So I typically do, and that's why I haven't watched the show, is I like to read the books first, then watch the show, because when I watch first, then the show paints my brain's picture versus, like, you know, it's fun seeing, like, oh, that's not how I imagine Ned looking. That's not how I imagine. Like, Ned was thicker in the show than he was in my head. Him being this ice kind of older guy, I almost had him in my head as like a frail guy.
Cool.
And like almost like, you know, in my head, because he's from a forgotten time, and it's proven as such by the end of book one. So to see, you know, the actor be a little more burly, I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. I wouldn't mind reading book one having Jason Momoa in my head.
That's very true.
And I don't have to say,
I can't paint a better picture than God did. So
I really liked Khal Drogo and Danny's wedding night in the books much better than I liked it in the series. That was one of the big discrepancies.
Yeah, that's true. So moving on to season three, pretty brutal.
You know, just the Red Wedding. Yeah. No big deal. Oh, yeah. So yeah, season three brings the Red Wedding, which I think was another moment for people like Ned's execution, where you're like, oh man, they can totally slaughter all the good guys. And wherever I thought this story was going, guess it's not.
Oh boy, that was one of the most, there's nothing better than your book smugness. You know, when
that was the book smug moment.
Because like everyone who read the book knew it was coming. Yeah. And so like when people were freaking out over like Ned, I was like, you ain't even ready. You ain't even right. Because even in the book, it's so, it really, I never watched Red Wedding. I only read it.
Oh my God.
Reading it, it really sets you up. You really think, ooh, this is the moment. They're coming together. We're about to Voltron and take over. And everything just goes south.
Hard pass.
Yeah. And I imagine the show set the same thing up, especially because, once again, I think the popularity of Game of Thrones is it subverts our expectation of how heroes fight villains and how it's supposed to work. And the Red Wedding is one of the big ones.
So brutal. I think it's so cool, though, that will forever be in pop culture history, right? Uh-huh. When you say Red Wedding, even if you're not a Game of Thrones, like, you know what it's from and you know what it stands for, like what it means. I just think that's so cool to have like forever altered film and media or like media history.
Yeah, the Red Wedding is a big freaking deal. And I do think that it hit all the show watchers by storm, and it was super fun to be a smug person that night.
Remember how many people was like, I'm never watching
people were
again.
Like, never watching again. I was actually watching it with Meg Turney, who I don't know if either of you know Meg, but she was one of my old co-hosts on SourceFed Nerd, and she hadn't read the books, and I had. And so we're watching it, and she's like on her phone, and I'm like, hey, pay attention right now. Pay attention. You're going to want to see this. And I wish that I had filmed
your
reaction because she lost her mind. But yeah, that's how everybody was. And I giggled like a fool watching people's reactions online. Because I went through it too. I just went through it years earlier when I read it in the books.
Yeah, there is always something too of like reading something shocking because you're like, turn page. Oh my God, what? Turn page. What is this?
I remember reading it when I was on lunch break from a job and I was like almost at the end of my 30 minutes and I was like, no, must keep reading. Not done yet.
And I really want to touch on... what Danny said, because I think that is true. That is such a big moment and something that when you can have one phrase or one word that will let everyone know, like people who probably don't even watch Game of Thrones know what Red Wedding was because it just blew up the internet. So everyone had to find out what this thing was. And moments like that are interesting because like I'd never watched the Star Wars trilogy growing up. That just wasn't a thing my dad showed me because he never cared about it. And I watched it maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And it was interesting watching the movie knowing everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I knew that Darth Vader was Luke's father.
Right.
I knew that. But to watch it play out, it was cool to even see things where I was like, oh, that's where that's from.
you know?
That is cool. That's super cool.
What are two? So wrapping up season three, I mean, obviously the Red Wedding was like the biggest thing. What are a couple of other things that people need to remember from that season?
I would say the other big thing that happened that season was Daenerys Targaryen overthrowing the masters of Slaver's Bay.
Yeah.
Getting the Unsullied army and freeing slaves in all the different cities. So maybe not half of Dany's titles, but a lot of Daenerys's titles came from the stuff she did in season.
I'm upset. Like her wardrobe, as it got like, you know, as she gained more and more power and like as she grew as a woman, like all of that, I'm obsessed.
Well, the wardrobe in Qarth, one of the places she is in season three, is supposed to be one boobie out according to the books, but they didn't do it in the series. Yeah. And I was bummed. It was like, well, not just because I wanted to see boobie, but also because like the big thing they talked about in Qarth was like how the fashion was so different and people really cared about it. And like, it had this like very different feel to it, which I think they did a good job capturing the series. But I was like, dude, where's the one booby out? Because there's a whole thing where Daenerys feels uncomfortable with it, but is trying to fit in. And it's like a cool growing moment. But that's pretty much season three.
Moving on to season four.
Season four, the Purple Wedding. Now, so that is when Joffrey gets murdered.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
That's called the Purple Wedding.
Ooh, that one's that. Whatever the opposite feeling of the Red Wedding was what I felt reading the Purple Wedding. Like, yeah, I just was. Let me read into detail this kid dying. I just, yeah.
Which is horrible to say, but yeah. We all felt it.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, they really did get you to hate a kid. Like, but
oh,
was,
for sure.
Oh yeah, but like it was. Oh man, yeah, it was so great.
Yeah, our friend Nick Ross looks so much like Joffrey that everybody would always send him pictures of it.
That's unfortunate because so many people hate that character.
Yeah,
yeah, I know.
But this show does such a good job, especially later. Joffrey is one of the few exceptions in the series.
Oh wait, no, he doesn't look like Joffrey. Sorry, who takes over? Who's the kid that takes over for Joffrey?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Rick
Tommen.
No, Tommen. Yeah.
Yeah.
His little brother.
Wait, Tommen. Hang on. Let me.
Tommen
see
had a few different actors, so it depends what season you're looking at. Tommen.
This last season. No, who's the other? Like he's like Joffrey. Why can't I think of it?
Do some googling and let us know. But yeah, so the Purple Wedding happens, and then everybody blames Tyrion for Joffrey's murder. Mm-hmm. And then Tyrion's trial by combat happens, where we see the big Mountain Oberon deal, which, yeah. Oh man, Oberyn Martell gets his head squeezed.
That's another meme that goes, I will not die this day, said by a man who died that day.
Yep.
Oh man, that was great too, because that was the Mountain God got as well, but mm-hmm. like that was a very interesting fight to read. I kind of went and that's one of the ones I did go up to look because it was such a big moment in the books for me. I was like, I kind of want to see how this plays out. And it was done really well. I liked the choreography of that fight.
They did do a great job. And then right after that, Tyrion escapes and murders Tywin. And I'm not going to spoil how they do it in the series for you, Iffy. I liked it. This is another moment that I liked it in the books better.
So it's not with the crossbow?
The entire escape, there's a very specific conversation that happens in the books that is left out of.
Between him and his father?
No.
Between him and his lady?
Between him and his brother.
Oh.
It happens differently in the series.
Really?
And there are some things left out that I feel like are very crucial to Tyrion's motivation in the following
That's
books
interesting.
And
I'm gonna
season.
Have to go. I'm gonna have to go.
Yeah.
Watch
so,
it.
I'm always hesitant to say it in things because I'm like, what if like in season 8 they're gonna drop that bomb of what that story was? I don't want to have spoiled it for everyone.
Oh my god, the story! Oh yes, they took the story out.
Totally out.
That moment for me was my huge turning point on Tyrion. My whole like, cause like I always liked Tyrion, but I always liked him in the sense that I was like, you're a bad guy, but I like you. But that you understood his anguish, why he is the way he is, why he doesn't trust him, and why he doesn't really like his family.
Yeah, that doesn't exist in the series, which is weird for me. But who knows? Maybe they will somehow drop that bomb in season 8.
Yeah, but I can see why you don't. Yeah, I can see why you don't want to because if they do reveal
it's
it
huge.
Later, yeah.
Because I like you when I read it, that was a huge moment for me.
Yeah, it really shifted my whole I went from liking Tyrion and be like, "You're a little bad boy, and you're gonna
so
get
smart.
Yours." Yeah, but to this, like, "Oh, you are hurting at all times."
Yeah.
It is Tommen.
It is Tommen. Yeah.
Our friend Nick Ross, who was on our Iffy and I's original podcast, Krillin It, looks just like Tommen, and everybody would send him memes all season. Please continue. Yeah.
Well, Tommen gets a spicy lady in Marjorie Tyrell, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other big thing in season 4 is the Battle of Castle Black. So when Jon goes north and pairs up with the Wildlings and it's the Wildlings versus everybody at Castle Black. The Wildlings come down to the wall and have a big fight, and that's where we lose Ygritte from the series.
Yeah.
Very sad for Jon.
Rip.
But that's season 4 as well. And then season 5.
We're moving along.
Season 5, we have our Hardhome battle, which is what I was thinking of earlier, where it's Jon pairing up with the Wildlings to fight the Night King, which that is such an insanely well done battle scene, especially when you're like, oh my god, this is TV.
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is on TV.
God.
Here's one thing I want to mention that's going on with Jon and with a lot of the Starks that you know, I don't know if it tracked as well as it did in the books, but you find out that the direwolves and the Starks are linked, and that they can control their direwolves, because John doesn't quite use it, right?
It's more, you hear about it more in the books than you do in the series.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's one of the coolest things, though.
I know.
Oh, so yeah, if you're watching the series and haven't read the books, they have a connection with their dire wolves, and that's kind of how one of the Starks stay alive, right? Because they're living mm-hmm. as
so
the...
In the series, there's a connection with them where, like, they're extra friendly. But it's not like all the kids can warg.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is, again, one of the reasons why I'm like, if you're someone who loves the series, there are reasons to go back and read the books. Yeah. Like, there's stuff
the
in there.
The warging was super cool.
Super cool. Yeah, absolutely super cool. Let's see. Season 5 also, the Sons of the Harpy attempt to overthrow Daenerys, but she escapes on the back of a dragon.
Ooh, yeah.
Remember that? And that's like the, yeah. I want to say that's like, maybe the first moment in the series where we get to see the grown-up dragons, like, yeah. in their full glory, doing their full thing. And that was another huge, like, I can't believe they're doing this on a television budget. Now, that being said, it's a gargantuan television
yeah,
budget.
Yeah, for real.
But
they really
holy
did
crap.
I mean, they really have shown. I can't think of another show that looks as good that is doing as much.
Oh, which yeah. is why, like, if he said, you can't be mad for having dragons in the series, because it took us so long to get the
yeah,
dragons
yeah.
in the series.
Oh, yeah. They had to prove the show was good enough to get that expanded budget.
Wait, I just need to show y'all this. Here's Tommen.
All right.
Right? Okay.
Here's our friend Nick Ross.
Oh, he definitely looks like Tommen.
Yeah,
Isn't that funny?
He needs to cosplay Tommen.
I mean, that would be the thing to do.
That would be the thing to do. Let's see. Season 5 also has the High Sparrow, who's freaking terrifying in his own right, bringing the rule of the Faith Militant back to King's Landing.
Yeah.
Which totally backfires on Cersei. Stannis. Oh, God. This moment is season 5, too. Stannis, direction from Melisandre, mm-hmm. sacrifices Shireen.
Oh, that was hard to watch.
Oof. That was so hard to watch.
Yeah.
It only prepared you for Infinity War.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't, Iffy, at all.
No.
Those people are coming back. Like, there's no way they're getting rid of freaking Tom Holland.
Well,
so.
And it's not like they were like, hey, yo, in order to defeat Thanos, we just have to burn you alive as we
right.
all watch.
They, like, quietly went away in the dust. It right. was not the same.
Much less excruciating.
This was brutal.
I mean, she eventually went away in dust.
Oh. But Iffy, it was brutal.
Okay.
And the worst part about that was, Stannis doesn't even win after that.
Yeah.
He dies.
Yeah.
And then something very tragic also happened at the end with our man, Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jon Snow is the Dies. Victim of a coup. Mm-hmm. All of his brothers turn on him, yeah. and they murder him.
And then we start the next season.
Yeah. Just kidding. Season 6.
Yeah, that's... I mean, y'all all knew that, I guess, that read the books.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh,
no, because it wasn't
gone that far.
No.
So, yeah.
So
like,
I was tripping out.
Yeah.
Which was why it was the perfect cliffhanger, because that doesn't happen and there's
yeah,
nothing.
None of us know that. And also, so some of the timelines ended earlier. Like, the show surpassed the books in certain characters' timelines in earlier seasons than it did in later seasons. Again, because you're doing POV from different characters, the timeline is very kind of gray and confusing in the books as opposed to the series. I mean, it's kind of confusing in the series, too. But, yeah, we did not know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Dang.
Faux show. I mean, people guessed because there were way too many fan theories about Jon being really important to
the ending
of the series to let Jon go so soon. But I think that's also why people were like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, now all of my theories are out the window?
But,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, but also in a fan base that is used to people being murdered and not coming back.
Yeah.
On, like, X-Men or something.
Right.
Where you're murdered, you come back. We know, and DBZ and all the, like, Marvel things, you're murdered and you come
alternate
back.
Alternate dimension John isn't coming back.
No, this one was like, oh, so people didn't know. We have to take a quick break. Then we're going to break down the last final seasons and then kind of... possibly the future and the prequel that's coming out. So we will be right back. And we're back. like, yeah, season six, they were like, oh, just kidding. We wouldn't do that to y'all. I mean, we would, but we know he's y'all's favorite.
Well, I feel like it's like, no, we would definitely do that to y'all, but we need to let you know how powerful Melisandre is.
Yeah, that too.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like was the big thing with that, that she could bring him back and that she was like, oh, he serves a greater purpose.
Just so he could be murdered in the end. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what might happen.
I mean, maybe.
I know.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Yeah, we had heard of the Lord of Light resurrecting people before. Sir Beric Dondarrion says he died, I think, 5 times and was resurrected by a red priest, Thoros of Myr. So we'd heard of that happening before, but this is the first we've actually seen it with main characters, so that's crazy. Let's see what else happens then. Ilaria Sand and the Sand Snakes take over Dorne, which is one of the sidelines that I feel like when you're reading the book, you're like, who cares? I want to be in Dorne. It's fine, but it's integral to the overall stuff. Daenerys gets a Dothraki army by burning down all the dudes. They're like, oh no, you're an ex-Khaleesi. You have to live with the old ladies. And she's like, no, I do not. Excuse you. That's a very good, like, woman power scene there. We learn about Hodor and why his name is Hodor.
Press F to pay respects.
Yeah, so sad. The Hodor thing's the saddest. I actually have a doorstop in my house that says Hodor on it because I'm an awful person, but it's so funny. And the Hodor thing is a big deal, not only because it's devastatingly sad for Hodor, but also because it shows us that in the time loop paradoxes that have now been introduced to the world of Game of Thrones, that Bran can not only travel back in time and see through people's eyes, he can also affect the past, which then affects the current timeline, which opens up a whole Pandora's box of theories moving forward for season 8, which we'll get to in a second. Let's see what else. Margaery and Tommen join the Faith Militant. Euron Greyjoy becomes king of Ironborn, which Euron Greyjoy is the big piratey guy. The Battle of the Bastards happens between Ramsay and Jon, which is another insanely awesome battle scene. And I think that all of us were so, so thrilled when Ramsay was defeated.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Littlefinger is the one who really comes in and saves it. It's not Jon, it's Littlefinger.
Yeah, and just for, you know, because I don't think we talked about Littlefinger that much. He's the most hard to read, slippery character in these books because sometimes he's helping. Yeah, the spider at least admits that he's in this gray area where he's like, you don't know who I'm helping. You know, I'm sorry. I'm the spider.
Out for me.
Yeah, I mean, also
Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I want. But Littlefinger, like, has this, like, faux emotion that he shares for whoever he's helping, and then he screws that person over, and then he shows this emotion. So you never, like, it really, where Spider is very, like, obviously neutral, and you can watch him be neutral. Littlefinger is so hard to read, but
yeah,
I
always loved the character of Littlefinger because I was like, oh, man, he is the mastermind of the chess game.
Yeah.
Like, all this politics that we're seeing play out, anything you think is happening by chance, it is not. It is happening because Littlefinger put it in motion to happen that way. So he was always my, like, oh, man, who's playing the game the best, at least in the earlier seasons and in the books, which is why it blows your mind later when he comes to an untimely end. So we have the Battle of Bastards saved by Littlefinger. Cersei murders a whole bunch of people by blowing up the Sept with wildfire, which is nuts. And then Tommen kills himself by your friend. Sorry, friend.
Yes.
Nick.
Yeah.
Jon becomes king in the North. Bran is now the Three-Eyed Raven, and he discovers that the whole Tower of Joy theory is confirmed, which I have to say, I don't know if you felt this way, Ify, but as a book reader, that is a theory I had been wanting to be confirmed for so long.
Tower of Joy.
So the Tower of Joy is the whole R+L=J theory, Jon's parentage, which is Rhaegar and
Lyanna.
Right.
Yeah.
Are the actual parents of Jon.
Yeah.
So like when you're reading the books, you're like, this probably isn't Ned's bastard.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest. Everything we know about Ned Probably not the case. And as you're going on, you're like, I bet he's a Targaryen. How could he be a Targaryen? Yeah. Like, trying to figure it out. And so Bran goes back in time and sees that happen. And then to know that Ned kept that secret all those years, even though Catelyn, like, hated him for it. And, like, it's just such a huge moment where I think everyone online was freaking out. R plus L equals J confirmed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that was a big, big, big old theory. That's what I was like, God, I've been waiting like 15 years for this theory to be confirmed. That was a huge deal. And then season 7, our last season.
Oh.
What did you think of season 7?
What did I think of season 7? I mean, it was spicy between John and Danny. So that had a little...
Even weirder now that he's her nephew.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. But I guess not uncommon for that time, which is, I mean, a time that doesn't exist. But yes, even, not for that time.
Yeah. Even in the book, they were talking about how, like, they were all... Just specifically the Targaryen family were just kept it in the family.
Yeah, Targaryens intermarried, and that was pretty well known. But I think being raised a Stark, it's going to be real weird for Jon. And I think for Daenerys being raised elsewhere, it's probably going to be super awkward for her too, even though they know that that's really how it goes. So season 7 opens with a killer scene where Arya slaughters all of the Freys
in
a revenge move for the Red Wedding.
It felt so good, right?
It does feel so good. Arya, who now wears many faces, such a cool move.
So she, like, noped out but still has the ability to wear many faces.
Yes, which is still a big question mark in kind of how all that went down.
Because, yeah, they might want to come back for her, question mark?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I wasn't thrilled with how all that played out in the series, and we hadn't really seen all of that in the books. Like, I was expecting to get more of a payoff or something that made a little bit more sense out of that whole adventure.
Yeah.
But instead, it just seems like she came away with it like, okay, so I'm not a priest for you guys, but I still can be a many-faced assassin, which...
I have a question. So where did the books end? Where has it left off? Was it back in season...
It's different for each character.
No, but okay. But because I was going to say, if no one has any idea of what's going to happen in season 8, like, because that hasn't been written.
No one has any idea.
Do you think he's going to come out with a book?
Yeah, he said he's going to finish it. He originally told the showrunners, here's how it all ends. Here's how I'm intending it all to end. And they said they're just going to take different paths to get there.
Okay. Yeah. And then if people want to read the book, they can, even though they already know kind of what will happen.
That's kind of like Scott Pilgrim, because the movie... came out before the final Scott Pilgrim book came out. So, and it seems like they kind of had different endings, but still kind of similar.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the idea. And I will definitely read the books because I think that they're different enough. And a lot of the excerpts that George R. R. Martin has released at this point are intentionally excerpts where, like, someone who was killed off pretty early in the TV show is in the book excerpt moving forward. So he's like, see, it's different.
Yeah.
Doing different things. But let me buzz through some of this because I know we don't have a ton more time. And I want to talk future theories. So Arya kills the Freys. Daenerys returns to Dragonstone. Cersei aligns herself with Euron for a gift, which ends up being Ilaria Sand and Yara, who in the books is called Asha. John meets Daenerys and they bounce it go bow wow. Bran, Arya, and Sansa all reunite in Winterfell, which is an amazing moment if you're Team Stark. Daenerys takes out the Lannister army and also finishes off House Tarly, meaning Sam is now in charge of House Tarly and he leaves his maester training with Gilly and the baby. So things are looking cool for Sam. He also has discovered the legitimacy of the marriage of Jon's parents, which is huge because that means that Jon is the actual heir to the throne. Boom, not Dany, which, woo, that's going to be a thing. Cersei reveals that she's pregnant, which I still don't know if she was lying about or not. John assembles what they call the Magnificent Seven, which was Gendry, Tormund, Ser Jorah, Thoros of Myr, Ser Beric Dondarrion, and the Hound to go north and fight the baddies up north. The Stark girls take out Littlefinger.
Goodbye, Littlefinger.
Bye-bye. You were playing the game well until you crossed Arya and Sansa Stark.
Yeah, don't do that.
Then Coldhands Benjen, who was in the books way before and we thought was completely taken out of the series, Benjen, Uncle Benjen Stark, also called Coldhands in the book, saves Jon.
That is not a good name.
Benjen Stark is his name, but after
Coldhands,
because he's killed by the Whites.
You name your creepy uncle. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he's killed by the Whites and then brought back by the Children of the Forest. So he's allowed to be creepy because he's essentially Uncle Zombie. So yeah, then he arrives and we're all like, what? And then we get an ice dragon. Viserion is killed in battle and then resurrected by the Night King, which is crazy. And then the ice dragon makes it so that the Night King can breach the wall. The army of the dead passes through. And Cersei at this time claims to make a false alliance. Well, she tries to make an alliance with Daenerys and Jon, saying, okay, let's put our war on a truce so we can deal with the problems up north. And then she confides in Jaime that she actually has no intention of doing that. When they all go north, she's just going to take the Seven Kingdoms for herself.
Is this just me? Does anyone like Cersei? Like, are people Cersei fans?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because Cersei has been through so much because she kind of has been shafted and underestimated just her whole life. She's had a whack husband, and then, like, you know, no one trusted her to run the kingdom for her son, and everyone has tried to use her. So I think the moment when the wildfire stuff happened, then it was like, oh snap, she's kind of great. And then I think when the shame dude came,
you're right,
it humbled her in a way that everyone was on her side.
And as a teenager, she was told by someone that could foresee the future that all of her children were going to die. So she's holding on to that her whole journey too. This series does a really good job of painting both positive and negative layers of our characters. So you don't really – there aren't any true 100% villains in the series with the exception of Ramsay and Joffrey.
Are any of her children alive?
Nope.
What happened to Tommen's twin sister?
So Myrcella was killed by Ilaria Sand with a poison kiss.
Oh, ouch.
To get back at Cersei for Oberyn's skull-crushy death.
Oh, so her children have all...
all that. Tommen's the last to go.
And he killed himself, which was...
So then you're like, oh man, Cersei's really, really off the deep end now. Yeah. But you understand it.
Yeah.
Like, she has been through it. And she does play the game really well.
Also, what's interesting about the series and kind of what's happening now is this book, you know, talks in past tense of all these, like, you know, named figures that all have this weird thing, like, you know, the Fire King, the Mad King. And you, when you read about it, you're like, how do you even get those names? And then you get to watch how these things happen. Mm-hmm. You know why Cersei is the Mad Queen. She's just lost all her children. You'll know why, you know, like, it all kind of, like, makes sense, which is why, like, I think that one of two things might happen. One, I think Jon takes the throne, everything resets because now Targaryen is back at the throne and it basically resets to the old time dragons exist again. We're back in, and or some apocalypse happens and we find out that this is just a cycle. Like, you have your summer, you have your fall, you have your winter, and then it rinse repeats every season.
That's what we keep hearing from the Maesters, is that there have been winters before and they all came to an end and there was a summer and everybody stopped freaking out, essentially. But I mean, now we're going into the final season. We only have 6 episodes, but they have said some of them are going to be as long as 80-minute long episodes. Oof. So fewer episodes, but they'll be longer, starting April 14th. And I mean, there's a lot of theories and what some people have as expectations for what this season could entail. Do either of you have any theories or guesses of what you think is going to happen next? Mine. You think Jon's taking it all and it's going to reset?
Either Jon's taking it all and it's going to reset, or we're going to have one huge apocalyptic event.
Ooh.
And my big Hail Mary is that Bran's going to go back in time and Ned Stark's going to say, no, I don't want to go to King's Landing. And it just, and nothing happened.
And
nothing, yeah, and nothing
but
happens.
Then what about the
People
Night King?
Would be mad.
But they're going to be able to defend it because Ned. Because remember, Ned believed in protecting the wall, so they'll defend it because Ned will send the required forces. It's just going to reset everything. Where it's just going to be like, remember what was that one? I forget. It was a horror movie where, like, every time you made a wish, it would go bad, and then, like, you were tortured. In the end of the movie, where she was like, I wish that one driver wasn't drunk on the job, and nothing ever happened.
There you go. We could have something like that. There's a big theory that Bran is actually the Night King because he tries to go back in time to be the guy that's turned into the Night King, and then gets stuck in that body and turned into the Night King. So there's two Brans coexisting simultaneously. But we have no reason to believe that two Brans can coexist simultaneously, which is kind of the debunk for that theory, if you will, but there's a lot of people in the Bran is the Night King camp, or that Bran is going to become the Night King. Because why is the Night King so intent on killing the Three-Eyed Raven?
Yeah.
We don't know.
I just don't want anything to happen to Dany. I feel very connected to her as we share the same name. And I played her in a Game of Thrones roast at Meltdown, yes. which I think might be up on YouTube somewhere.
That's
but
amazing.
I wanted to talk about the prequel that's coming out.
We don't know very much about it. We know Naomi Watts is in it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's it. That's really all we know about it is that it's a prequel. There's going to be spinoff series. It's going to be a prequel. So it could.
We don't know when it's set place or.
No, I mean, it could be dealing with any of the stuff in the past. It could be dealing with the Children of the Forest back in their heyday. It could be the turning of the Night King originally. It could be the Targaryen rise to the throne. Like, we have no idea. We just know there's a lot. I think George R. R. Martin has said there's many, many stories in Westeros. So we'll see which one gets told.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's what we know about the prequel. But at this point, I mean, everybody, I think the things that I'm expecting, these aren't my tinfoil hat theories. These are like things that I think will probably happen. I think Jon's going to figure out his parentage. Sam will probably, either Sam and Bran, some combination of that will happen. It'll be super awkward for Jon and Daenerys. But then maybe Jon will ride a dragon knowing that he's a Targaryen, which would be very cool. Mm-hmm. A Song of Ice and Fire. Get it? That's a thing.
I did want to say, because we always have somebody that writes us and is like, these are spoilers. No, like literally none of us have seen it and
nobody
read
knows.
This point. Nobody knows. So these are just what Trisha thinks could possibly happen, right. but also could not happen at all.
I have zero inside
knowledge. So please don't write us. That happened too with Captain Marvel. And I'm like, we literally haven't seen it. We have no idea. We're just
zero
going off
idea.
Of our current, what we think might happen.
We're just having a little fun with some predictions.
Yeah, we're just playing around.
I also wonder if maybe Cersei will eat it this season.
Oh, I am so ready. I am not a Cersei fan.
Okay.
But that's...
Who do you think's going to be the bearer?
Oh.
Because people are saying maybe it might be Jaime.
Oh, I could totally see that
happening.
What
a poetic death.
I could totally see that happening.
Right?
Absolutely. I don't know why I did not connect to Cersei the way that other people did. I'm like, when is her turn, though?
I think people respect Cersei's ambition.
Yeah.
I don't know that anyone likes Cersei. Like, I don't know that anyone's like, oh, yeah, I hope Cersei takes it all.
But what if she did? Yeah. That would be such a middle finger. Like, oh, man. Okay. Anyways. I'm very ready. I'm sorry, Cersei, you've done your time. I'm ready for you to tap out.
I also think they keep hinting at Daenerys being pregnant after our Dan and Johnny.
I think so too.
Thing. So that might be a thing that goes
somewhere. They don't
use
protection then. They're not using the sheepskin condoms.
Nah, that
wool,
could
whatever.
Happen. And I do think Arya will at least murder one other person off her kill list.
Oh, I think she's definitely...
Yeah, that's what she's going
for.
And Cersei's on her kill list.
I think she's
going
to complete that, yeah.
So it could be the people still on her kill list are the Hound, Cersei. Oh, and her kill list is different in the series than in the books. Cersei, the Hound, the Mountain, Illyn Payne, Melisandre, and Beric Dondarrion are the people still on her kill list in the show. There's extra characters that have been cut out of the series that are on her kill list in the books. So yeah, those are the things that I'm like expecting to happen. But other than that, like the big question everyone's asking is, who do you think is going to finish sitting on the Iron Throne?
Yeah.
And I legit have no idea.
What if it's not somebody that's one of the main characters?
I think they're going to burn the Iron Throne. They're going to destroy it.
Well, the Iron Throne is already melded weapons.
Yeah,
that's
I think
what
they're
it's
just
made
gonna,
out of.
They're going to, Daenerys is going to have a dragon just flame it till it melts.
That's what they say. That's how they say it was made in the first place, was the swords of the enemies melted by dragon fire.
All right, well.
That's how they, which is pretty awesome.
I keep trying to find ways to destroy it, and you keep making it stronger.
I don't know. I feel like Jon and Dany might get married and roll together.
Yeah.
That might be a nice, but that would be a nice resolution.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Game of Thrones is not known for nice resolution.
Oh, no. Goodbye. One
so
of
we
them.
We have no idea. But yeah, tinfoil hat theories that are out there. Bran is the Night King is a big one, or the Bran traveled back in time and was the original Bran the Builder, or both. I like the belief that Tyrion is actually a Targaryen as well.
Mm-hmm.
But as we go on, there's less to prove that. That
yeah.
seemed more viable about a season or two ago. But his dad, Tywin, does say lots of stuff like, you are no son of mine.
Right.
Like, there are things dropped in there that it could be the case. And he also, the dragon did not go after him the first time he met a dragon, which is another big Targaryen thing.
Yeah.
So that's total tinfoil hat. And then a lot of people online I was reading recently that think Mira Reed and Jon Snow are twins. And that maybe Mira Reed is also a Targaryen. I am not super in that camp, but there are definitely people online that are.
It's so funny. I'm reading an article from Rotten Tomatoes that's like breaking down the timeline, and people commented, why did you use BC? That's like a totally different, yeah. That doesn't exist
before
in this
Cersei.
World. Yeah, before Cersei. That's not in this timeline. yeah, the three wise men show up, and that's what I think is
going
to happen.
Well, my guess is that probably, because I've seen people use AC mm-hmm. when they're talking about Game of Thrones, and I always wondered what that was after yeah. What that meant.
The dragon time is apparently the timeline we're working off of. Well, we did it. We broke it down.
I tried. There is so much information.
Oh, of course. Yeah, and we can't. I mean, there's entire podcasts dedicated to this show. Mm-hmm. So we hope that that was a good refresher going into season 8.
Oh, yeah. And I hope into all the people who just decided to pop this on before they start the next episode in the new season, enjoy the show. Trisha, do you have anything you want to plug before we get on out of here?
No, I mean, if you want to follow me on socials, I actually am doing a Game of Thrones after show Ooh. With a couple friends of mine, with one Sam Basher and DJ Woldridge.
Oh, that voice has been heard on here, right?
Yeah.
Ah,
Sam,
yes.
Sam came on here. He had a great Flash episode, and he was in our Captain Marvel review.
Heck yeah. So yeah, Sam and DJ Woldridge and myself do a Game of Thrones after show. And we're going to be doing an episode this week going into the new season, and then an episode after each of the 6 episodes moving forward. And if you want to follow me for more information on that and other stuff, I'm at That Girl Trish, but it's That GRL Trish. There's no I in the girl. And that's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I'm so going to slide in your DMs when Cersei goes.
Dude,
if she goes.
You should, right?
Oh, but if she's there until the end, slide into my DMs, please.
I just want a DM from you that's a GIF like, oh.
It's going to be something. Yeah, yeah, totally. You'll get me with like Selena dancing or something.
Perfect.
Selena dancing.
I'm at Ms. Dani Fernandez on all the socials. Check out our TeePublic site. It's tpublic.com/nerdificent. We will have Game of Thrones shirts in there. We have really cool ones, so go check it out right now. Also, you can catch me on Verve. I have a new show called Live from WZRD. If you watch it, you can watch the first 2 episodes are out right now. You can watch them for free. And if you do, we might get another season. So please watch it.
Watch it.
Yeah, a bunch of our Zeitgeist fam is on there. Jamie Loftus is in there, and Carl Tart, formerly of Culture Kings. Hopefully Iffy will be in season 2. He was too busy for us this season.
Yeah, no, that was while I was at working at BuzzFeed, and they didn't give me any days off. I'm just kidding. I love y'all. yeah, and me, I'm Iffy Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram. So definitely go there for any and all future shows. If you're listening to this now, then I guess I can let you know that on the 17th of April, I'll be having my Just for Laugh callback at, West Side Comedy Theater, 8 p.m. in Santa Monica. If you're in the L.A. area, come there and laugh, because agents don't.
oh, God.
If you like seeing me play video games, definitely stop by the stream. That's IFDEEZ on Twitch, twitch.tv/IFDEEZ. And I'm going to explain this a little more, because a few people have tweeted me asking me. The way you do this for your free sub is if you already have Amazon Prime and you have a Twitch account, or not. You can make a Twitch account. You then can connect your Amazon Prime account with your Twitch account, and you get one free sub to give to me every month. You have to come back and do it every month. It doesn't auto-renew. Only if you paid cash, then you can like pay it, rinse, repeat, and then when you don't have $5 to spare, feel free to cancel that. but also, most importantly, more than anything, we have the Discord. So discord.gg/saltsquad. We have a ton of different Nerdificent rooms in there. Lots of people get there. Fleckery goes ahead and drops the footnotes in there for you to click. Danny's in there chatting it up, checking in with people, promo and stuff that she has going on. So definitely if you want to stay up on Danny's stuff, you can check that out. And I think that's all of the plugs I have. It was extra long this week, and I truly apologize for wasting your time when you're trying to sit there and watch Game of Thrones. So as always, stay nerdy.